Well, Pastor's been walking us through a series called Above the Chaos. And I don't know about you guys, but I shared with you a little bit earlier. Sometimes life just gets that way, right? It seems like maybe even this time of year, things are a little bit more chaotic than normal for many of us. We have a young one, our baby, going to kindergarten. There have already been tears shed at our home. But I was thinking back on my childhood. Now, that's me in the sweet yellow tank top on the left and in the striped tank top on the other side. That's my brother and then my cousin. And you know, when life got chaotic when I was a kid, I had a place of escape. And it was that awesome green and yellow swing set. Anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about? A place where you could just go and get away from it all. And for me, there it was, the backyard, swinging on the swing set. Boy, Daddy had it anchored down good. I could swing. I mean, those days are long gone. But back in those days, man, I had a place of escape. All of us need something like that, right? A place where we can find peace, right? Pastor shared this verse with us, John 16:33. It says this, Jesus said to his disciples, in the world where we are right now, right, you'll have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. What a great truth. Well, today we're going to unpack John chapter 16 just a little bit more. That verse that we saw actually takes place at the end of a really cool dialogue between Jesus and his disciples. But before we get to that, let me recap for you just for a few minutes if you haven't been here. Through the miracles of the modern web, the internet, you can go back and listen to Pastor Louis' sermons, but I want to just recap them real quickly. The first week, we talked about this idea in Hebrews chapter 12 that all of us are in a race, okay? And when we're in a race, we've got to have our eyes fixed on something. And Pastor Louis shared with us that in the race that we're in, this race of life, there is nowhere that we can look except for to Jesus to escape the chaos of our culture. Again, all of us that run a race, we look to Jesus. Secondly, in the second week, Pastor Louis shared with us of this idea of God's discipline. God's discipline. The chaos in our life sometimes is a result of the culture, are the result of maybe some personal sin in our life. But either way, God uses his discipline to bring us back to him, to produce holiness and also produce righteousness. And then last week, if you were here, Pastor shared with us a great message on in the midst of chaos, God desires us to worship. And he talked about this idea of lifting up there's drooping arms, right? And then bending our knees and standing before God in worship, even in the midst of chaos. Well, as I was thinking and preparing the message today, I wanted to think through some of the most chaotic times in Scripture. The only thing that, one of the things that jumped out to me first and immediately drew me here to John chapter 16 was this time in history before Jesus went to the cross. And the days, everything happens so quickly. And I don't know if you've ever been caught up in anything that happens so quickly. Sometimes it just feels like it's rolling downhill and there's no way you can even catch your breath. I can imagine the disciples in that moment before Jesus went to the cross had no idea of the chaos that was about to absolutely surround them. But Jesus did, right? And before chaos ensued, he wanted to leave them with something that they could hang on to because he knew better than they did what was coming. I don't know. I think we can apply that to us, right? Sometimes we think that we've got everything under control, and then chaos begins, and we need something to look back to, something to fall onto, something to hold onto in the middle of that. Now, Jesus says these words to his disciples in a new way to them. He speaks to them plainly, not in parables and not in things that are difficult for them to understand, but language even a child could understand. As I was thinking about my swing set experience, it's sometimes unfortunate that as adults we lose the simplicity of the gospel of peace that Jesus brings to us. Sometimes we just need to step back and have a childlike faith again and realize that Jesus offers something that the world will never, ever offer, and that's peace. And so in John chapter 16, Jesus speaks to his disciples in simple language that they can understand, and my prayer today is that we can understand. Now, you may say to me, Justin, I appreciate what you're saying about chaos, but I'm not in some singing in the rain shower where we're all dancing around holding our umbrellas, okay? I'm in a hurricane, typhoon, thunderstorm, and my umbrella turned inside out, okay? That's the kind of storm I'm in. Well, I'm going to tell you today, Jesus speaks to the pitter-patter of simple rain and the hurricane thunderstorm that the disciples were about to go to, and he speaks to your situation as well. No matter what it is, he offers peace. If you have your Bible, John chapter 16, I hope you'll turn there with me. If not, the words will be on the screen. Again, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, speaking pretty plainly to them. Let's read together. He says, verse 25, I've said these things to you in figures of speech. What things is he talking about? The entire book of John and the Gospels, Jesus spoke to his disciples in parables, right? He had to explain them sometimes, but many of the things that he said, yes, he spoke in parables. But he said, I've said these things to you in figures of speech. I'm about to change my tone. I want you to listen, disciples. He says this, the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on my behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and I've come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. Now let's pause for a second. Jesus says all these things to his disciples. Sounds pretty plain, and we look at them now and we go, totally understand what he was talking about. He's going to the cross, right? He's going to die. He's going to be resurrected. Totally understand. I've got to get you guys to pull yourself out of today's context and put you back in the days of the disciples. Did they have any clue what was about to happen? No, they couldn't have, right? I mean, they thought they knew, and let's look here, verse 29, the disciples have an aha moment. They say this, huh? Now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe you came from God. They're like, totally makes sense, Jesus. You ever had that thought? I totally understand this. And God's like, yeah, okay. Jesus says this. Here's what he says in verse 31. Jesus answered them, I want you to put this in the sarcastic terms that I think it was meant in. Oh, do you now believe? You guys have got it all figured out, right? Like me, I've always got everything all figured out, right? All right, oh, boy, God proves us wrong on that sometimes, doesn't he? Jesus said this, look, verse 32. Behold, when you behold something, that means you better open your eyes and look and listen. The hour is coming. Indeed, disciples, it has now come when you're going to be scattered. Each to his own home. And you will leave me alone. Not me, Jesus. I'm here. I got you, right, Peter? I'm here, Jesus. Whatever happens, I'm with you. Jesus said, no, you're going to leave me alone. He says, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Verse 33, we read part of this earlier here. He said, I have said these things he just said to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, we read earlier, you're going to have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. What a great truth, right? Jesus speaks to his disciples. He speaks to us. Now, I gotta get you to go with me for just a minute into back in time a little bit and imagine yourself standing before the guy you have seen do amazing and miraculous things. Things you and I in our little minds can't really even comprehend. Jesus had fed 5,000 people. He had healed people. He hadn't even done the best yet. He's going to come back from the dead. But even the things we've seen, we're amazed by. And Jesus stands before them and offers them this encouragement in what is really a great time in their life. You ever thought about that? What has happened right here? Read your scripture. Nothing. There's been no arrest. There's been no betrayal. Sure, Jesus had talked about it, but his disciples had missed most of it. Chaos had not even started. And he spoke to his disciples these words of truth. Why is that important? Because listen, Jesus is present before chaos begins. He's present in your life before chaos begins. And I'm going to show you two phrases where Jesus shows this to us in this verse. The first one, Jesus says in the beginning of this chapter, in this section that we have read, is that he says, the hour is coming. Now he's speaking to his disciples in a future tense. To us, it's past tense, but to his disciples, it's future tense. He says to his disciples, there's a time, an hour coming where, number one, puzzles are going to be made plain. Anybody do puzzles? You know what I'm talking about? You like puzzles? You got to lay out the edge, right? You got to start filling in the pictures. At first, it looks like just a bunch of junk, right? Then you make it into this beautiful picture. Jesus says to his disciples, boy, everything looks confusing right now. You don't understand. Listen, bad times haven't even come yet, and you think you have it all figured out. There's a time that's coming, he said in verse 25, where I'm not going to speak to you in figures of speech. And he's speaking about something that we have now that they didn't have, which is the Spirit of God who speaks to us plainly. You know, we get so hungry sometimes for God to tell us something new. God, if you would just show me something new, if you would just reveal to me something new. You know, the truth is that we don't need fresh, new things. We've been given everything in God's Word. We just need to have obedience and have listening ears. I spoke to you a month or so ago when I shared in my sermon about listening that it's impossible for us to separate the Spirit of God and the Word of God. They work together. The Word of God enhances the Spirit, and the Spirit of God enhances the Word. And those two things together equal God communicating with us. And Jesus said, disciples, there's a day that's coming when the Spirit's going to make all these puzzles plain. And you're going to remember the things that I say. You don't need a new word. You have the Word. You just need to remember it. You need to know it's true and claim it in your life. And we have that gift now through the Spirit. Jesus also said, in verse 26, the hour is coming when your prayer is going to be made personal. Do you know what it took for a Jewish person to offer up their prayers and petitions to God? It was a very elaborate system of sacrifices and offerings and money and all of these steps that they had to go through. And none of them could really personally even get access to God. They had to usually rely on a priest to do that, right? They didn't have access to the Word. They didn't have access to the Father. Jesus said, you guys don't even realize that the day is coming when you can pray to the Father in my name and he'll hear you. We take that for granted. We throw out that phrase in Jesus' name like it's just the ending to a prayer. Boy, it's way more powerful than that. Do you know who paid the price for us to pray in Jesus' name? Jesus did. And he prayed and he said to your disciples, you're not going to have to jump through those hoops anymore. You can pray in my name and guess what? The Father will hear you. Man, what a great truth. They didn't even know what it looked like. They couldn't imagine life where they could speak to the Father personally. And Jesus said, that day is coming. He said in verse 27, there's a day coming when your faith is going to be informed. He says there in verse 27, you, the Father himself loves you. Why? Because you've loved me and that I have come from God. Jesus Christ was going to show them what faith really looked like as he demonstrated it for taking the sin of the world on the cross. We sung about that, taking my sin and my shame and nailing it to the cross. You're going to see what faith really looks like when you see who I really am. And that brings us to the fourth thing. He said, the hour is coming when my deity, and deity is his godhood, his godness, if you will, is going to be demonstrated. It's this idea of Philippians chapter 2 where Paul shares this Christus psalm where Jesus Christ humbles himself and takes the form of a man and goes to death, even death on the cross, so that you and I might have life. That's when his deity is going to be demonstrated. Why is it important for the disciples when they're looking at this? Why do they need to know these things are coming? Because they were talking to a Galilean carpenter. Okay? a man who surely, yeah, had done some amazing things, but up until this point, I don't know that they really understood exactly all that they were getting into, did they? Jesus said, these things are coming. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm the Son of God. And I'm going to prove that really soon when I go back to the Father. Now, what do we do with this? Well, we take this and we look at it in a past tense point of view, and we say, thank you, God, that I can have puzzles made plain through the Spirit of God. I can pray to Jesus in His name and directly to Him. My faith is informed because I know who Jesus is and what He did, and I believe that His deity was demonstrated when He took the form of a servant and He died on a cross. That's good stuff, right? We say, thank Jesus spoke that to them. He speaks that to us today. But there's a second part of this scripture that we read today where Jesus kind of changes the tone just a little bit. The disciples, after this point, they go, oh, yeah, we totally understand all that. Whatever. Yeah, they thought they understood it, right? We've got this. And Jesus said, well, guys, listen, I'm going to humble you just a little bit, and I'm going to tell you something. Here's what He says. He says, the hour is coming, in verse 32, indeed, it has already come for a few things to happen. And why is this important? Because it immediately puts them and us on guard against arrogance, on guard against pride. Here's what He says. First thing, hour is coming, indeed has come. The first thing is when your faith will be tested. Boy, Jesus speaks to His disciples here. He says, you're going to get scattered. You're going to run away. The first time your faith gets tested, you're going to run away. The first time things get really difficult, if you forget that I'm going to do all these things and you focus just on the moment, the indeed that it has come right now, you're going to run away. You know what that does? That puts us on guard against a couple of things. Pride, arrogance, too much self-confidence. We say to ourselves, my intellect and my intelligence can get me through anything, and you're wrong. Jesus said, there's coming a time when you're going to realize that your faith is going to be tested and you're going to scatter. You got to be careful. Guard yourself against that. And Jesus said, secondly, a time is coming, and it indeed has come, when Christ is going to be comforted. Here's the part about God. When everybody else abandons Him, guess what? He said, the Father is still with me. He doesn't need me and you to help Him along the way. You know that? He doesn't need me and you to help comfort Him, because the Father is always with Him. He knew that those that He sent to be with Him would abandon Him. And yet He says, and He even says again in John chapter 8, the one who sent me will always be with me. Humankind may leave me way behind. This world, guys, may drop Christianity and everything that has to do with it. Guess what? God still reigns and He's still on the throne. He doesn't need our comfort. The one who sent me will always be with me. And He says this in the midst of all that. He says, number three, the time is coming, and indeed has come, for peace to be discovered. In the midst of all of that trouble that is about to happen, that's when you're going to find peace. So one of my favorite childhood stories is the story of Daniel and the lion's den, right? You guys know that one. Daniel was obedient to God. Ended up costing him a trip to the lion's den, right? Well, I tell you what, here's what I'm praying if I'm in the lion's den. Several things probably come to mind. So one of which is, Lord, get me out of this lion's den somehow. Miraculously hoist me out of the lion's den so I do not have to be in here anymore. You know, God didn't remove Daniel from the lion's den, did He? You know what He did? He shut the mouths of the lions. We want to separate peace and trouble. We think peace is the absence of trouble, don't we? It's not always the absence of trouble. That's true sometimes. Peace is finding comfort from only Jesus in the midst of trouble. Do you understand that? That's what Jesus is saying to His disciples. You're going to find yourself very soon, guys, in the midst of trouble. Guess what? I'm not going to take you out of it, but I'm going to take you through it. So our kind of key point today is this beautiful story that Jesus says in verse 33. He says this, a time is coming and now has come where victory is going to be established. Now, again, I got to put you in context here. Jesus says all of this before the cross is even a figment of their imagination. Yeah, he's talked about dying. I don't know if they heard him all the way yet. But Jesus says, listen, the hour's coming. It's come now where victory is going to be established. Yes, you will have tribulation. The Greek word there is actually better translated. You will have things that crush you in this world. You will have things that overwhelm you in this world. But guess what? I have already overcome all of that. It's this beautiful English, if you're an English nerd, which I'm not, trust me. It's the perfect past tense where Jesus speaks about the victory and the overcoming as if it's already happened. You know why? Because it already has. We have a finite view of time, don't we? I can see this little sliver of me. God has an infinite view of time and sees all things and all times and all people. Isn't that cool? That God knows before chaos begins in my life that he's already overcome it. And you know who does all the worrying about that? Me. Unnecessarily worrying about things that God has already overcome. Now here's the deal. Just because he's overcome it doesn't mean it always comes out exactly like we want it to come out. You know, for the disciples, they couldn't imagine a worse thing happening to Jesus than him dying. But that's exactly what had to happen for victory to be established, didn't it? What does that mean for us in the midst of the chaos that surrounds us? Let me give you one simple word, stop. Clear your mind of the things that consume you. Jesus looks at us and he says this, I've overcome the world. Not I'm gonna overcome the world one day, or I might, if I have time, overcome the world. I might, you know, one day down the road, he says to his disciples, in that day, the hour is coming and it has come already where I have overcome the world. Jesus says to you today, I see you where you are in your trouble. But you know what I see that you don't see? I see what's ahead. You can't see it. Your focus is so narrow, but I see it. And I see that even if the trouble that hinders you results in death, guess what? Death for those of us in Christ is actually victory. We get so consumed with the things around us and we allow circumstances to control us. But Jesus came to his disciples. Don't miss this. And offered peace before circumstances even happened. And guess what? You're looking at or thinking to yourself today, you think, well, I'm not really in any trouble. Great. But you know what? Jesus still offers peace to you because one day he said, you're going to have trouble in this world. And whatever it is that comes your way, I've already overcome it. 70 years ago, April 1945, the end of World War II. The U.S. Army was just a few days from liberating Flossenbürg Prison, a German prisoner camp, when a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hanged at 39 years old. Age 39 years old. Bonhoeffer was an outspoken opponent of the Nazis and the leader of the Confessing Church in Germany. At that time, he had numerous opportunities to leave Germany and be saved peacefully, but he wouldn't do it. He stayed and he led the church, and in 1943, he was arrested for his stand, not only against Hitler, but also for his faith. He was a wonderful pastor, theologian, poet, writer. His works today still speak to millions of people. And in his first year in prison in 1943, at Christmas time, he wrote a little booklet, if you will, called Prayers for My Fellow Prisoners. He shared some truth of the things that God was doing and sharing through him while he was there in prison, knowing that he was probably going to die for his faith and for his stand. He said this, "Lord, you've granted me many blessings." Wrote that while I'm in prison, you know. "You've granted me many blessings. Now let me also accept whatever it is that is hard from your hand." Circumstances can't control us if we live in Christ, can they? Wherever it is, when we find ourselves in the fiery furnaces and the lion's dens of life, we spend so much time praying that God would take us out, and what we really need to know is that God has already taken us through. Lord, shut the mouths of the lions. Lord, make the fire not burn me. Lord, help me to trust you and know that in your hand, I've already won victory. It's funny how as kids, we don't have as much trouble with this, is it? When I was a kid, I could go to the swing set and all my troubles would go away. It's only when we grow up and we begin to lose that childlike faith that we begin to complicate things, isn't it? Well, I'm going to encourage you today to go back to the beginning and remember how it felt when God said to you, "I love you, I forgive you, you're my child. I'm going to promise you victory." No matter what happens all around you, when chaos abounds and surrounds, how can you take heart knowing this? Well, Jesus has already overcome. Boy, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you, you should in your personal time read John chapter 17. Immediately after Jesus speaks these words to his disciples, he says, after he had spoken these words, he lifts up his eyes to heaven and he begins to pray. He prays for two groups of people. He prays for his disciples. And then starting in verse 20, you know what he prays for? He prays for you. He prays for me. He prays for all those that come after them, that their faith would be strengthened, that they would be encouraged, that they would know who he was, what he did, and how much that he loves them. A beautiful picture of God who never leaves us and never forsakes us. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. You know, my challenge in preparing something like this is to be as authentic with you as I can be. And so I hope that you hear my heart when I say to you, this is an easy sermon to speak, but a hard message to live. I struggle, I think if you're honest, in a room this size, all of us struggle with allowing God to take control of our circumstances and let him have complete victory on those things, no matter what they are. So my prayer today and my challenge for you is this. In your life, what is it today that you need Jesus to remind you that he has already overcome? What is the circumstance? Is it addiction? Is it marriage? Is it family? Is it job? Is it relationships? I don't know what it is. It's different for every one of us. What is it that you need Jesus to remind you that he's already won victory over? Stop allowing those things to claim victory in your life because they have already lost. For those of us who are in Christ, we can claim that the time has already come and we don't have to worry anymore. Stop waiting on something that's already happened. Jesus says, just trust me, believe me, know that I love you, and these things are in my hands. You're going to have things that crush you, but take heart, I've overcome every single one of them. If you don't know Christ, let me tell you today, you'll never find the peace. You'll never find the answer in the temporary peace that the world offers. Oh yeah, you'll find things that feel good for a while, or you'll find things that band-aid for a little while, but you'll never know peace until you know Jesus. There is a place in your heart that only he can fill.